This is LBC with Matt Stadlin.
Running a national emergency, and it's been signed many times before. There's rarely been a problem. They sign it. Nobody cares. I guess they weren't very exciting, but nobody cares. They sign it for far less important things in some cases, in many cases. We're talking about an invasion of our country with drugs, with human traffickers, with all types of criminals and gangs. The order is signed, and we will have a national emergency, and we will then be sued, and they will sue us in the Ninth Circuit, even though it shouldn't be there, and we will possibly get a bad ruling, and then we'll get another bad ruling, and then we'll end up in the Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll get a fair shake, and we'll win in the Supreme Court, just like the ban.
Well, that was Donald Trump at a press conference outside the White House telling reporters why he used emergency powers and, yes, what he thinks will happen next. Joining me now from Washington is none other than the very great Simon Mark. Simon, good morning.
Good morning to you, Matt.
My question for you, how many national emergencies did our friend Barack Obama call?
I don't know the number of national emergencies Barack Obama called. I can tell you that there have been 58 since 1979, when the national emergency became a declaration that modern American presidents, starting with Jimmy Carter, began to embrace. But there is a real difference between this national emergency and past national emergencies. Past presidents, including Barack Obama and others, have not used the national emergency to try and get stuff done that Congress simply didn't want to fund. And so what the president has done here by using this national emergency in a bid to advance his own political agenda, and remember that the president and the White House say that by declaring this national emergency, he can build that wall along the US border with Mexico, the same wall that he used to claim the Mexicans were going to pay for, without congressional approval and congressional funding. He can basically look under the sofas, he can divert money from other bits of legislation and spend the billions of dollars, $5.7 billion, that he wants to spend building the wall without congressional approval. Well, the American political system doesn't work that way. This is not a dictatorship. This is not an authoritarian political system. There's political system here is governed by a written constitution, and the constitution says that when the president wants to spend some money, he's basically got to get permission and support from the US Congress. He hasn't succeeded in doing that on this issue of the wall, and so in many ways, Matt, the wall now becomes a secondary political issue as we enter what is going to be a political and legal battle over whether President Trump has the authority simply to circumvent Congress.
If he does turn out to have that authority, then he, in a sense, is not the one who's challenging the separation of powers.
If he does turn out to have that authority, and this is something that many Republicans up on Capitol Hill are very worried about, the Democrats will have the capacity, next time they have a president in the Oval Office, to declare national emergencies of their own, to address issues that, for example, Republicans in Congress may not wish to address. Issues like climate change. How about a national emergency on gun violence, in which a future president of the United States might seek to implement gun control, even though Congress has not got behind the initiative from a legislative perspective. So there's a tremendous hostage to fortune in all of this, not for Donald Trump personally, because by the time all of that happened, he'd be long gone from the White House, but for Republicans up on Capitol Hill who say, look, in the case of Marco Rubio, the little Marco who ran for the presidency back in 2016 from Florida, he says this is a bad idea. And the reason why he thinks it's a bad idea is not just because it provides President Trump with powers that the Constitution never envisaged any president of the United States would have, but were the judges to uphold it, then that same loaded gun would be carried by any future president of the United States, including Democrats.
How might the Republican majority Supreme Court find on this?
Look, I mean, I think that's going to be the key issue. There's no question that this is going to get tied up in the courts. I mean, Donald Trump is not, between now and Election Day in 2020, going to get to build his wall. He will claim that he's building the wall. But at the end of the day, as we head towards the election in November 2020, you will hear him blame the Democrats and probably blame the courts, those checks and balances that he doesn't like much contending with, for having held him up and diverted him from the pledge that he made on the campaign trail in 2016. With the Supreme Court now, including Brett Kavanaugh, remember that very controversial judge who was confirmed last year after a bruising battle up on Capitol Hill, Republicans at the moment generally can contend themselves with the notion that they're in the majority, that they can win 5-4 on many issues. But you never know exactly which way the Supreme Court is going to go. The Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, is much less reliably on Trump's side than the White House would like. And President Trump's own words today are going to come back to haunt him in any legal battle. At one point during that rambling news conference at the White House that touched on all sorts of different issues, but with relation to this national emergency declaration, he said, riffing because he was not reading from any kind of prepared text, "Look, I didn't have to do this. I could have waited. I could build the wall a lot more slowly. I just don't want to." Well, either this thing's a national emergency and a genuine crisis that requires immediate action, or it's not. And what he seemed to be conceding there was that he'd done this for political expediency. And that is going to be viewed by people who go to court against him as almost a confession that this isn't a real crisis. This isn't a national emergency. And he had the choice to do this, didn't need to do it, just felt like it was a good idea to try and get things moving. That's going to be a big problem for him in the courts.
And does Trump's ongoing obsession with this wall suggest that he sees it as indispensable to his chances of re-election to a second term?
Yes, without question. I mean, he sees this as, first of all, a policy pledge that he made on the campaign trail. And whatever you think of President Trump, wherever you stand politically, unlike many of his predecessors in the Oval Office, he has been very, very focused on delivering to his supporters what he promised he would deliver in a whole variety of different areas of policy, whether it's pulling out of the Paris Climate Change Accords or the Iran nuclear deal, or in this case, building a wall. But he also wants to turn this into an issue on the campaign trail in 2020. He wants to paint the Democrats as people who don't believe in border security, want to allow the country to be overrun by immigrants from south of the border who are going to commit awful, violent crimes all over the country. Even though the statistics don't support that argument, he's going to use this to connect with his core supporters and to brand the Democrats as a party of lawlessness and anarchy. That was central, you'll remember, to his campaign strategy last November in the midterm elections, and it is absolutely going to be central to his strategy for re-election in November 2020.
Searing analysis, as ever, from our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Thank you very much indeed.